everybody, welcome to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. NCAA Football 13 will be here July 10th. We're finally getting solid information on the game as the first EA Sports NCAA Football playbook came out this week covering sights and sounds. I'm CDJ and joining me is Tommy. Tommy, how are you?
Doing pretty good. Glad that we finally got a little bit of information out of EA.
Let's get right into the sights and sounds and talk about what EA Sports is bringing to NCAA Football 13. Let's start with what I think may be the biggest one, and there's a lot of good things they announced. Commentary improvements, new designer Christian McLeod, formerly of Operation Sports, was on the webcast, also put out a blog, talking about this new nonlinear system that allows for some ad-libbing during recording to really improve the commentary. Something EA talked about during the webcast is that they realized in the past the commentary just hasn't been there, partly because of the system they used before, not necessarily due to effort, just simply the system they had. A new system put in place. This is something that we, at the community event back in January, we saw it, but obviously not all the lines are in place, so we can't give a good personal experience with it because it was still being built at the time. But Tommy, from the little you heard in January, plus what they talked about yesterday, what are your thoughts on this commentary improvement system, which they say, I should stress this, it's part one of a multi-year system?
Yeah, it is definitely a work in progress that we won't even see all the benefits of it this year. One of the biggest things that they kind of mentioned on during the webcast yesterday is that in the past, their commentators basically had the memory of a goldfish. They couldn't really draw on things that happened previously in the game, whereas this new system will allow them to do that a little bit more. I think this first year it's going to be just a little bit, but then as the next couple of years progress, it'll just even build on that even more. So it'll definitely be interesting to see not only this year but also the future. But it definitely something that had to be done. It's the commentary has kind of been stale. It's kind of been stoic. It's been basically how they admitted it's been scripted. So, you know, with Brad and Kirk now kind of writing their own lines, so to speak, it basically is going to be a lot more natural and definitely going to be a lot more interesting to play the game with that.
And we should add, all this stuff we talked about now is kind of a loose in the play now sense of it. If anything specific in presentation is in Road to Glory or Dynasty or any other mode, that'll be discussed at that time. So this is kind of just an at-large overview of the changes. Another big change along the same lines, audio improvements, a new crowd mix. EA utilized ESPN and also audio recorded from games to help improve the crowd audio, and also they've added 24 new school-specific chants, and I should say that may not necessarily be new, but improved as well. They went to, I believe, 20 to 30 games. They had crews on the field. Community members went out and helped them recording some of these games during the webcast, and also if you go to the blog at ea.com/NCAA-football, they have clips comparing 12 to 13 with some of these chants, such as Texas Fight for Texas, Boomer Sooner for Oklahoma, the war chant for Florida State. Personally, I thought it's a world of difference. I never thought it was terrible, but when you hear the new version of it, you realize that there's so much more potential with this new system.
Absolutely. I mean, the past ones, you could almost kind of tell that it was a small number, especially when they isolated away from other crowd noises and everything like that. You could definitely tell that it was just a small number of people. Whereas these new ones, it is an actual crowd that generated the chants. So it's not only is it more emphasis on the crowd saying it, but then as well they're saying it in their true likeness. I know that whenever we were down there in January, one of the examples Ben mentioned was that they had no idea how to do the Woo Pig Suey chant. So they basically just went out there and said it almost naturally, whereas the actual chant is a lot different than like a sentence structure, so to speak. So it's definitely interesting to get the true actual chants from the true actual fans.
And like EA Build It, you were at any of the games they mentioned, and they have a blog with it, and you can also find it at the Gaming Tailgate. You are in NCAA Football 13 if you were at one of those games, because your audio, if you were yelling, cheering, joining in your crowd chants, guess what? You're in the game somewhat. You may not be able to hear yourself, but you help contribute to this. Let's go into more of the visual side now. We've covered the sounds a little bit. Let's talk about the sights. The webcast began with a look at true progressive lighting and motion blur. True progressive lighting, in the past we had a lighting system that changed on the quarters. If you go back 2 or 3 years ago, it was very, very distinct that you would see basically the light change between quarters. And I always equated it to one of those three-way light bulbs, that you could see it go up or down between quarters. Last year they added in that monolith between quarters, or 2 years ago they added that, or maybe it was last year, I forget, to where, okay, you don't see the change, but when you come back between quarters, you realize, boy, it's a lot darker than it was just 2 minutes ago. What this does now is as the game progresses, the lighting will change more gradually, so it seems like a more natural system. Tommy, I'll let you give me your thoughts on true progressive lighting and as well motion blur.
Well, the true progressive lighting is going to be big. Is not only do you not now see the actual change, you know, it's a progressive system, but as well, you're now going to have situations where you're driving and you're now going to have the sun in your eyes, whereas before you may have the sun in your eyes, but probably, you know, a good chance you would never see it, or if so, you'd only see it for like one quarter or something. But now you'll have the sun in your eyes for, you know, however long a period of time that it would be out there. And so now you have to kind of worry about, is that going to blind you when you try to throw it downfield or anything like that? Obviously, it probably won't, because that would detract from gameplay. But at the same time, it's going to definitely provide a different visual for you, that it's just going to kind of make you feel more like you're there, instead of, you know, that jarring bump from, you know, the sun being up to the now the moon being out. So, and then as far as the motion blur, it's interesting. It's not anything I would have ever thought that would need to be added, but I think the only time you'll ever really see that really come into focus or come into play is during replays, and whether it's going in and actually watching the replay yourself, or just simply, you know, a cutscene replay after you've finished a play. So it'll be interesting to see, and it'll be interesting to kind of play around with, just to see, you know, how it looks differently and everything like that. But at the same time, like I said, it's not one of those things that I would have ever even thought to ask for.
Along with that, this year they talked about a new generic HUD library, over 100 options. In the past, the way the system worked was, depending on the skin color you had, and I don't know if player size even mattered, but you just had a very, very limited bank of player heads. And more than likely, there was a good chance that a, you know, 10 to 20% of your roster had the same face, which really, especially on the menus when you're seeing those heads in the corner, doesn't really let you establish a unique identity for each player. This year, we have over 100 options in the generic head library. Also, along with that, and we saw pictures of this, which we'll get to talk about in a minute, there are now cutscenes where the players have their helmet off. So instead of hiding behind their helmet all the time, now you see faces a little bit. So it was one of those things that if they ever wanted to take the helmets off the players, they had to add in more head options, and that's what they've done this year. Broadcast Presentation 2.0, covered in the webcast, this talks about continuing the relationship with ESPN, trying to blur the line between video games and reality, copying what ESPN does, and also kind of looking at what other networks do when they cover football. This talks about bringing ESPN-style graphics into the main menu, a new broadcast wipe such as for halftime, NCAA football's 20th anniversary of the franchise, and the ESPN College Football Shield, as well as the latest ESPN replay wipe in transition. Tommy, talk about, if you want about either one of those, the generic head library or Broadcast Presentation 2.0, what they add to the game.
The generic head library is definitely going to be big. Like you said, you know, in the past you had a very limited number of heads that you would actually see, and in fact there was one scenario in an online dynasty where three of my four running backs all had the same exact face. So it's kind of like that kind of pulls you out of the element. So at least now, you know, you'll definitely have more options to actually come across to have different player heads and everything like that. So and then as well, we also saw that there are, you know, more unique hairstyles. You know, I know that a lot of people wanted the dreadlocks and they were disappointed that they weren't quite how they wanted them to be. So now we saw different variations of dreadlocks, but then also, you know, mullets and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see. And then, like you mentioned, the ability for in the cutscenes for the players to not have their helmets on. So as far as the broadcast wipes, it's, you know, that's just kind of updating everything that they need to. It's definitely good to see, and the menu system that they had was definitely pretty cool. But at the same time, unless they fix how laggy those menus were, it's just going to be, you know, a new coat of paint on something that really didn't work before.
I agree with you. That's one of the things that I'm anxious to see it, and then also hear down the line how improved that is, because like you said, in NCAA football, navigating through the menus and through recruiting interface, just very slow and laggy, and that's something hopefully we'll hear more about as we get closer to July 10th. Along with that, we talked about with the generic heads, now you can have players with their helmet off, and that fits in with new trophy presentation and celebration cutscenes. This happens in rivalry games for, it's not every rivalry trophy, but a good number of them have these scenes where the players are hoisting up the big trophy. Some of these are special, where the players will do special things in interacting with the trophy, that it's not the same cutscene for all these trophies they added it in. It's a little different for each. Conference championship games, players will hoist the trophy. They have that in there. And also bowl trophies. They'll interact a little differently with each trophy depending on the size and what it is. To kind of help, I view it as, if you compare NCAA football to other video games, this is your payoff. In NCAA football, you're trying to win rivalry games, conference championships, bowl games, and national championships. So, like, if you're playing Mass Effect, you want an epic or very cool cutscene or vignette when you finish a chapter, beat the game, etc. And this is the equivalent in the sports title. When you win a big game or a championship game, you want to have that cutscene, and that's something they worked on to get a little more attachment for the user, so they feel like they've accomplished something. And they tried to also look at real life. They talked about how Oklahoma and Texas play for the Golden Hat in the game. We saw this in the teaser video. The Oklahoma player takes the hat, sets it on his head, and wears it. I believe if you go online, you can see pictures of Colt McCoy, and I believe Sam Bradford doing the same in the past. So they tried to mimic real life and bring that over.
Yeah, it's definitely cool how they brought that in and, like you said, kind of mimic real life. And the other nice aspect of this that I like that they ended up doing is that even conferences that don't have an actual conference championship game, you know, it's kind of hard for them to predict, you know, who's going to be the final winner of those games, because, you know, if you don't have an actual conference championship game, then it comes down to standings and everything like that. So it's hard for them in the middle of that game to say this is the winner. But what they did do, though, is if you, let's say, like the example they gave yesterday was, if you bump your team up or your conference up to 12 teams, then they now will have, for example, the Sun Belt will now be hoisting up their conference championship trophy in that conference championship game. So it's definitely nice that they not only added that, but then also went the extra mile to make sure that the other conferences get to enjoy that through custom conferences.
The final thing with sights and sounds that we learned about were some of the school-specific upgrades, whether that be traditions or stadiums. Two new stadiums in the game, Florida Atlantic and North Texas. They told us how they got the stadiums in the game this year, bringing over a technology used in Tiger Woods PGA Tour, where they were able to put in the stadium and it kind of maps out the line points, that it's more accurate than any stadium has ever been in the game. Not to say that the other stadiums are out of date or completely inaccurate, but this is just so precise that I think they said on the webcast that their goal is now, when they go to other stadiums to either update or add, they'll keep using the same technology because they've seen that it's a success. So if you're a Florida Atlantic fan or a North Texas fan, or you play in the same conference with either one of those new stadiums are going to be in NCAA Football 13. They went through a laundry list, a real brief list, though, of stadium updates: Iowa State, North Carolina, Oklahoma State, Rice, Tulane, UL Monroe, Wake Forest, the Sugar Bowl, and more have received some sort of update to keep them up to date with the real-life stadium. More traditions. This is kind of a big one, Tommy. We'll talk about a little bit here. We learned that Purdue has their entrance in the game, the Texas Cheerleaders Dance Squad are in the game, the USC Song Girls, Reveille from Texas A&M, Western Kentucky's mascot Big Red. We have the paratroopers from Army, Navy, and the Air Force, and more trophies such as the Heroes Game for Nebraska-Iowa, Big Ten Championship, and more. Tommy, talk about these traditions. In the past, we had, you know, I believe last year was about 25 to 30 team-specific entrances, but as we've talked about the trophy presentations and celebrations, and now these traditions, it seems like they're kind of moving this year at least. They are trying to add in things that encompass the atmosphere of college football that any school in the proper situation, such as winning a rivalry game, conference championship, bowl game, get this special situation versus just a one-off entrance, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, there's, 30 or 35 teams that have a specific entrance,
mm-hmm.
and that's still only a quarter of the teams that are actually in the game. So you still have a lot of teams out there that don't really have that specific entrance or don't really have that niche mascot or things like that, that, you know, if nothing else, doing these other things, it makes sure that, you know, if you win the conference, you're still going to get to see your team winning the conference championship, and you get to see your conference championships trophy, things like that. So it's definitely nice as far as that goes. But then as far as these others, it's also nice to still continue to build upon what they've got so that at least, you know, you're not focusing on it, but at the same time, you're always bringing a little bit more in. I think the most interesting one is the one that they can essentially reuse is the paratroopers. You know, obviously the armed forces, Army, Navy, Air Force, you're going to see them doing it more often. But at the same time, if they wanted to show your mascot doing a paratrooper scene, then they could do so. So it's definitely – that's something I like to see more of in that – basically be able to incorporate these items into teams that don't have something to go in its place. So the more we can see of that, I think it will definitely be a big boost going forward.
And finally, through the teaser video and also a handful of screenshots that EA Sports put out, we've learned some new and updated uniforms. They say there's over 230 new uniform pieces. 233 is the number I saw most recently today. Looking at the screenshot, it looks like Arizona State has their white helmet in the game that wasn't in last year. It looks like Baylor's uniform has been updated. Kentucky has their new uniforms from last year. Maryland's Pride uniform, which is the state flag they wore in the season opener last year that people either loved or hated. There really wasn't much in between. UL Lafayette had a couple helmet and jersey options. Looks like they're in there. Obviously, many, many more to be announced when they have over 230 new items. But, you know, reading between the lines and kind of looking through the video and pictures closely, we've learned of a few new ones. And they say in the blog, they talk about how it's very important. They're trying to catch up, if not stay ahead, of uniforms and other items. Real quickly, Tommy, just on a personal note, how important is it to you for details such as uniforms to be exact in the game, or at least up to date?
Well, I'd definitely like to see if they could go so far as to have them, you know, if a new team unveils one, you know, week five or whatever, then EA is already ready to unveil it alongside or something like that. I mean, that's obviously the next step or whatever, but it's definitely interesting to be able to use the uniforms that are out there, especially the unique ones. But as far as that goes, you know, I guess my team I'm concerned with, but I'm less concerned with against the other team. Although the more options, the better, because I do know that I like, regardless of whether it's accurate or not, I do like to be able to mix and match, just kind of, you know, give a different look from week to week, make one game be my, you know, rivalry game, so I do the uniform a little bit different, that kind of stuff. So it's definitely at least interesting. The more option you have, always going to be better.
Well, that's our wrap-up of Sights and Sounds, the first NCAA Football 13 playbook from EA Sports. The next one is April 17th. That's a big one, gameplay. I'm very anxious to see what EA has and also, more importantly, to see what the community thinks of what EA has added to the game this year. May 7th, we have Dynasty Mode. May 28th is the Heisman Challenge. We don't know a lot about that yet. And then June 11th, they'll wrap up with Road to Glory. We know that next week, the cover athlete will be announced. The final voting is done. It's going to be RG3 joined by either Herschel Walker or Barry Sanders. Before we wrap up, we have learned about the pre-order bonuses for NCAA Football 13. From Amazon, if you pre-order through them, you get 5 Nike Pro Combat downloadable uniforms for Army, Georgia, Oklahoma State, Oregon, and Michigan State. If you pre-order through Best Buy, you get the 5-star quarterback for Road to Glory. Through GameStop, you get the Heisman Challenge 3-player pack of Mark Ingram, Tim Tebow, and Matt Leinart. And at Walmart, you get the Prima Digital Mini Guide. Real quick, Tommy, if you had to pick one of those as being the best, which one is it?
For me, I guess it would have to be the Amazon pre-order, just because, I mean, the rest of it you can kind of basically build on your own, although the Heisman Challenge stuff, obviously you don't get those three players. But the uniforms themselves, you know, that's essentially just about the only way you can get them, I believe. So, and added to that, I mean, I've honestly always enjoyed Amazon, especially that you can get release day shipping and all that stuff. So, to me, that's always just the easiest one to go with anyways.
For Tommy, this is Chris. Everyone, thanks for listening to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast, and make sure to check us out at thegamingtailgate.com.